Hey, welcome to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. This is Johnny Lupinacci. Dr. Johnny, that's right. It is homeroom. That's right. It's Monday. It's homeroom time for all you pencil busters out there. Thanks for listening. Hey, Jacob, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, Johnny. I just got back from Kansas City over the weekend, and always good to make it out there. I don't know if you've ever traveled to Kansas City or not.
My guy, yes. I love Missouri. I think it's hilarious as a state. This is a little social studies nerd in me coming out, but that's fun for homeroom. I always love how St. Louis on one side and Kansas City on the other side both appear on the map to be escaping the state of Missouri.
They do.
one's breaking right, one's breaking left, but love both those places. Kansas City's a great spot. Jacob, tell me you got some barbecue while you were there.
I absolutely did. That was part of there. Every time we go, we try a different place, get different barbecue. It's an experience.
Oh, man, it is probably some of the best barbecue in the country, if not the best. I'm a big fan of the Kansas City food there. Also, big fan of the city in general. So glad you got to shoot down there. Man, what a weekend, huh? An NFL draft.
So
you got
much.
NHL playoffs. Yeah, it was action-packed. Good one, good one. And, man, last week, Jacob, last week, Tim and I, man, we dove into it. You got front row seat chairman of the board, you know, teasing it out. And we took apart an article last week that kind of crossed the streams a bit. It crossed the streams. Because Tim is always a few articles. He sent, for pencil busters out there listening, Jacob and I, we get texts from Tim. We're in a group chat. You know how it is. It's 2025. Everyone's in some kind of group chat. We got a Busted Pencils group chat. And man, Tim, that's right. Tim Slecker, you know, my co-pilot here at Busted Pencils. He sends a lot of articles, man. He sends us info all the time on things happening in education around the country, K-12 stuff and higher ed things. And last week he sent us a flurry of them and we dove in. During class and session last week, and we talked about an article that was, sort of a prognosis of where are we going in higher education? What are some of the big things on the horizon to be expecting over the next 10 years? Well, we crossed the stream because Tim also sent us an article about AI, right? Tim, for pencil busters and listeners out there, you know, Tim, he is an avid attendee of the Church of AI. Yeah, I'm able to take some shots at Tim because he's not here today. He's busy off probably doing AI stuff. No, he is. He'll talk more about it, but he is transitioning to an exciting new role in education. And I'll let him unfold a little more of that. But exciting stuff happening on the horizon. And we're kind of syncing up our schedules and recalibrating here at Busted Pencils. But man, yeah, Tim sent us some stuff about AI. And Jacob, I've been thinking about it all weekend, man. You know, like this is true. There's so much happening in higher education that I agree. Tim has said, he thinks that while a lot of these articles are talking about over the next 10 years, you know, I think they're happening sooner rather than later. That this is a moment of much needed change in higher education, but also rapid change. So with all rapid change comes some pain, right? And there's a lot of pain and woes, but also excitement. And I'll kind of come back around to this. I always land on this, and Tim knows this because I'm a glasses always half full kind of guy. Even if the glass is getting to be like a quarter full, I'm still like, yeah, but it's a quarter full. It's not getting close to empty. We still got some great stuff in the glass. And so when it comes to higher ed, I think similarly, you know, that any time in education where we have informed change, and I'm sad to say right now that there's a lot of information helping us be informed about our change, but there's a lot of real extreme orders, primarily executive orders coming out of the, you know, federal government, is the presidential administration is issuing a lot of panic and doing a lot of kind of sweeping policy recommendations that are forcing that change to happen probably more rapidly than we'd like it to occur. But I come back to this. Anytime we're in change, we're in a growth moment. So it puts us in this growth space as professors, as educators, as people in higher education. It puts us in a growth space. And we do some of our best teaching when we're learning. And that's just a fact. Teachers out there, you know this. When you're learning with your students, man, that's just some of the best stuff. So this is one of those moments where we are learning as professors to make adjustments. And administrators in higher education are learning to, I would say, better meet the needs of our diverse students in a challenging time. Yes, forged in the crucible of some, I'll call it some extreme policy recommendations that I don't fully agree with, like the political, like rationale or reason behind those extreme policy recommendations. But nonetheless, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. Let's roll with the educators. And yes, professors, you all are educators, and all you higher ed administrators, we're or are professors. So you know the routine. I mean, you know the drill. Our students have very different needs. Maybe they're not all that different, but we know now more about how to better meet diverse learners in higher education, actually K-12 and into adult learning. We know more now, and we can utilize this moment to really, really lean into how we can better provide an important service and to our democracy, to our communities, to all the future careers these students have ahead of them by, you know, cleaning things up a bit, improving. There's always room for growth, you know? And so I'm excited about some of that growth. Not excited about the reason why we're forced into the rapid change, Jacob, but you know, when life gives you lemons, what do?
Or when life gives you an orange, in this case, more like, you know, you make orange juice.
Oh, yeah, it's coming from an orange. Yeah. So we make lemonade or like Jacob said, when life gives you an orange, well, we're going to make some mimosas.
There you go.
Or screwdrivers or whatever it is you like to mix your orange juice with. Or, you know what? I like to add a little sparkling water to my orange juice. It gives me that kind of fancy orange Gina, like a quarter of the price. But I digress. Nonetheless, Jacob, we're kicking off the week. It's homeroom. And this week, we're not going to only focus on higher ed because there's certain to be some stuff popping in our K-12 community out there. But on that topic, man, I just wanted to kind of, you know, highlight a bit. Like, we are in a moment of flux.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm going to propose them as challenges that welcome us to opportunities. Right? Let's go with the challenges that welcome us to opportunities. So a couple of the key things, Jacob, I see unfolding from not only our discussion, but from the larger discourse on, whoa, big things are happening in higher ed, is that I'll start by this. It's all long overdue. Okay. There's some big areas I'm going to hit on today, and they're long overdue for our higher education community. And that's not me like blaming anybody, but it's like saying like, okay, I'm going to say the train has already left the station, and that train being, hey, we can do better and we need to do better on a couple of key fronts. The first one, I think, is that we learned, Jacob, from COVID. It's been 5 years and we're still pretty much, I would say, in a COVID era, but you know, it's been 5 years since we were thrust into like lockdown. And nearly all of us educators around the world went into, an online platform of some format, whether it was, you know, Zoom classrooms, whether it was Google Meets, but there were all kinds of technologies that transformed our classroom space to an online format. Now, that wasn't new. So one of the things, Jacob, that we learned in that COVID moment, and we've been learning over the last 5 years, is that some of our students learn really well in these kinds of non-traditional face-to-face classrooms, and that there's still really good learning that can happen in online learning platforms. Now, our online instructors for decades, the high-quality instructors that have been doing online teaching, were like, hey, we've been saying this for years. There's a really, it's not the same as teaching in your classroom. There's some important kind of skills and new things you need to learn about. There's different technologies and different modalities for sharing information, for you know having meaningful discussions and things online, but it's possible and it's been happening. So you know, during that COVID moment, those educators became, you know, I would say like thought leaders in our industry. They became really valuable. They already were, but it wasn't necessarily as recognized as maybe, you know, those of us who had been teaching in classrooms most of our teaching career, traditional classrooms. Now all of a sudden we're thrust into this different form of delivery that we were rather novice at. And so it was really helpful to have those thought leaders. So I would say like this reshaping of higher education, I think is going to be heavily influenced by the experience that we had in the COVID moment we were in 5 years ago, carried for a couple of years. And I want to say we're still in that era to a varying degree, but we're able to utilize what we learned, right? That there is an important value to recognizing that some people thrived in those different forms of delivery and others suffered. And so that we have to have, you know, hybridity and flexibility in how we offer opportunities to get access to higher education. Some of it might be through online delivery. Some of it might be in a hybrid form. Some of it will still be in traditional classrooms or combinations of these. But what we know is that people learn really differently. I mean, we knew it before, but it was exacerbated in that COVID moment. And this, I will say, the landscape of higher education, you know, the evolving time that we're in, you know, that's going to be a huge part of it, that digital transformation and our fluidity with hybrid learning models. The other thing, Jacob, I think that we're coming, like it's a real, I don't know, I'm at a loss of words here for it. The best I can rely on is a cultural metaphor. It's a come to Jesus moment for higher education in terms of shifting student demographics and expectations, you know? And I say that, you know, with pause, I don't mean lowering expectations. I mean, changing our idea of what constitutes a college student. I know we've been having this discussion for decades and decades, but I think the ever evolving flux and change in higher ed right now, in addition to our fluidity and comfort with a hybrid delivery system, you know, both online and in-person capabilities. I think hand in hand with that is shifting our general understanding of who's a college student. It isn't just people turning 18, graduating from high school. We have all kinds of variances in our educational pathways right now. And we are in one of those moments, Jacob. I'm going to name it right now. And I think I'm not the only one. We are in one of those moments where careers are shifting all around us. Industry is changing rapidly. Our availability and access to work has changed. Our realities in terms of, hey, what do I really love to do? And what am I good at? And how do I get into that career is changing and happening at different times in life. So it isn't just when you're a sophomore or junior in high school and your guidance counselor comes to class or sits down and says, hey, what are some things you're interested in? And here's some possibilities for you, whether it's, you know, trade school, apprenticeships, you know, college, all the different variabilities of things that young people have on their minds and access to. It's also happening for change of career folks, students of all ages, people coming out of military service, people who said, hey, you know, I think I want to be a computer programmer. They get into computer programming and they figure out that what they loved about it was design. And now they want to kind of rethink and retool and, you know, pick up a degree in design or in marketing or in business. There are all kinds of ways that industry is changing and that higher education in this moment, you know, needs to be attentive to shifting demographics, shifting student demographics and expectations. I add on, Jacob, that expectations, and I don't mean like lowering what we expect of students, like, but what I mean is that people all around the world, and especially young, and I say young, I mean like students coming out of high school right now, I mean, they're used to being taught in a very different way than I will say higher education has traditionally been teaching for the last, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years. You know, we think about teaching models in most universities. I'll pick on them for a minute. Tim certainly poked at the professors last week. You know, he's going to come back hot and heavy with that this week. But I'll say, like, really thinking about how we teach by and large and in college classrooms. The students expect different. We should be more aware of cultural diversity. We should be more aware of diverse learners. What I mean by that is that we don't all learn the same way. Some of us are auditory. Some of us are more visual. Some of us are kinesthetic learners. Some of us, all of us really, by and large, are active learners. We should be engaged. We should be invited to the learning moment through inquiry. We should have assessments, assignments that are meaningful, you know, and that aren't busy work. And I'm not saying that all college is busy work, but we know some of it, and for some of you listeners out there, a lot of it was busy work. Well, the expectations that students have are not that. And in fact, we also know about the value of good mentorship and of having great teachers. And so students, by and large, have those expectations because they're getting that in really good ways in their high schools, in their middle schools. And so they're groomed in a good way. I guess I shouldn't use that word because usually we use that word for, you know, more kind of negative stuff. But they're taught, they're conditioned. That's maybe a better word for it, to expect better teaching. So higher education, we've said it here before, but we're going to say it lots. Good teaching is going to be required. If you're not a great teacher, then, you know, it's going to be a tough go for you as higher education really reformats here a bit. The other thing, Jacob, I'm going to throw out there, we've talked about it a lot on Busted Pencils, but not too much of late, but the financial pressures and new business models. I talked about, we are in a moment of great change, right? There's a lot of things happening. We have student loan debt, and we have a lot of more, I would say, financial awareness, concern, and literacy in people thinking about, you know, changing their careers or engaging in learning. And so there are financial pressures and new business models that are going to be also a huge part of that ever-evolving and changing landscape of higher education. How much is this investment going to cost me? And is there a good return on investment as I change careers or as I enter into my preparation for a career? You know, I think that's a really important thing to think about. How are we not, and I cringe at saying this, Jacob, because I really don't like competitive models and I don't like too much market-driven influence on education, but we're in that kind of moment, right? Where students have to really be thinking about what's their return on investment. And if students are thinking about that, well, higher ed administrators, you bet they're thinking about that. And so should we professors be thinking about what is our business model and how are the current financial pressures, you know, an important thing to consider as we're navigating, you know, today's challenges and opportunities in higher education. The other thing, Jacob, and I know this is a tough one for my peers because I'm not saying what we all bring in our expertise to teaching in college isn't valuable and ought not to be valued. It really is. But I think we're in a moment where we really have to think about, you know, offering a skills-based education and with strong workforce alignment. I really think that we owe it to the next generation. And I don't even mean just young people, but anyone, you know, retooling, anybody thinking about, hey, I'm going to change my career pathway. I'm going to be a learner in higher education. I think we owe it to them to say, well, here are the experts in your industry. Here are the skills we know you will need to be, you know, not just competitive, but the best of the best out there. And it's aligned to what you're going to do. So workforce alignment, I think, is really key. I mean, that comes naturally for me, Jacob, as a blue-collar scholar. I really love knowing, hey, what are the skills I need to complete the job? And how can I be the very best? You know, I got to come up in the skilled trades. So my entry and pathway into teaching was through having some really great teachers on the job. So skills-based education and workforce alignment, yeah, I'm biased. I have a big affinity towards it, but I see its application in everything. I see its application in computer programming. I see its application in writing poetry. I see its application in doing philosophy. I see its application in becoming a writer, a journalist, you know, someone who's also a creative. I see it in the arts. I think it's an important part of our education. What do we need to know? What are the skills we need to be great at in order to be successful, having a career and something we learned because we had a passion for it. Whether that's marketing, whether that's finance, whatever it is out there, I think most good professors should be thinking really strongly around, hey, here are some big topics. You heard it here. Busted pencils. This is Johnny laying it out. Here are four things I want to talk more about as we talk about the changing landscape of higher education. It's how do we embrace a hybrid form of learning, right? How do we make that digital transformation? Little teaser alert. My guy Tim's going to come in hot with his AI stuff. He loves that church of AI, man. He's drinking the Kool-Aid. And I'll tell you what, listeners, I'm not a hater as much as I used to be, because I'm seeing AI as part of that skills-based education, you know, and workforce alignment. If you're not familiar with how AI works, you're already behind. So these four things, Jacob: embrace, you know, hybrid learning models, understand that there's a shifting student demographic and change in expectations. We got to change with those expectations. There are tremendous financial pressures and important new business models for us in higher education to be attentive to, right? And why not line it all up? That's right. This is my plug, Blue Collar Scholar. Make it skills-based education and have it workforce aligned. Let me know. I'm learning what I need to learn to be the very, very best and the career I'm passionate about going into. How about that, Jacob? How about that?
I like all your points, Johnny. Those were four good points. I think this is going to lead into pretty naturally a good talk with Tim when he gets back on Wednesday, get into all this again. It's been an ongoing subject for Busted Pencils. There's a lot of thoughts and opinions on it. And I feel as soon as we get Tim back, we'll have an answer definitively to the question of how to improve higher education and ultimately how we can all bow down to our new AI overlords. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Resist the overlords. Work with AI, not for it. That's my big key. And on that note, it is now time for your moment of Zen. Control in modern times requires more than force, more than law. It requires that a population whose lives are filled with cause for rebellion be taught that all is right as it is. Hey, thanks for listening to Busted Pencils Homeroom today. And remember to grab other podcasts filled with more Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course on the Civic Media website. You can always find us at bustedpencils.com. Remember to grab this week's class and session on Wednesday. You can always find hurdles and home runs on Friday. And of course, that's right, you catch the Busted Pencils broadcast on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for an hour of your favorite Blue Collar Scholars, Tim and Johnny. And keep busting pencils.